I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep us stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Bruce Hurwitz. Bruce is president of Hurwitz Strategic Staffing, a boutique executive recruiting and career counseling firm. While he works with everyone, his mission is to promote the hiring of veterans. Bruce is the author of the upcoming book, The 21st Century Job Search. His articles on LinkedIn have been read some 400,000 times, and he's been quoted in over 700 articles appearing in 500 publications across the United States and in some 30 foreign countries. He's been a guest on the Fox Business Channel and Headline News. Bruce, welcome to the show.
Thank you, David. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Hey, Bruce, why did you start Hurwitz Strategic Staffing?
I had been working for a recruiting firm. It was 2009. Business was not great. We were concerned about the future of the company. And I thought it was actually a good time to go out on my own. I did some research, and I discovered some articles. I especially remember one in the Harvard Business Review that said that the year after a recession, hiring shoots through the roof. So I thought, given that situation, it may be worthwhile for me to go out on my own. I realized that I would not have income coming in for a while. I used SCORE, which stands for the Service Corps of Retired Executives, which is a group of men and women who are, as the name implies, all retired, but they are experts in their fields. And there was no expert in the field of recruiting, but the gentleman who I worked with was a marketer, and he cut my business plan to shreds. He challenged me, and in the end, after trying for probably a good month to convince me that I was crazy, he said that he thought I could make a go of it. So I had good advice, I had a plan, and one of the questions that I always asked candidates who were applying for nonprofit positions was, what causes do you care about? So I asked myself the same question, and all of the charities that I was supporting were in some way, shape, or form connected with veterans. So since my background had always been the nonprofit sector, I decided that I wanted my company to have a real mission. So that was how I came up with the mission of promoting the hiring of veterans, which I do by lowering my price significantly when the candidate or the client is a veteran.
So 2009, so now it's 2018. What was business like in that first year or two? How did it pan out compared to what you had planned?
It was terrible. With all due respect to the Harvard Business Review, they got it wrong. It was very, very difficult. I was able to keep above water, technically speaking, by doing what so many have done, credit cards and personal savings. I didn't take money from anybody, from friends, relatives, none of that. So my debt was to banks, if you will. And I just started to build a reputation. I had a few previous candidates who contacted me because their employers needed to find staff. And that was how the business started to take off. And then a couple successes, and people heard that I was out on my own. They were looking for me, and through LinkedIn, they found me. And one thing led to another, and I started to get just a handful of clients, but that's all I needed, because the one thing I did correctly, and I made a lot of mistakes, But the one thing I did correctly was to keep my overhead down. So I didn't need 5 clients a month. 1 client a month, 2 clients a month sufficed.
And now that it's a number of years later, do you see any patterns or trends that led to your success?
Well, the most recent was, of course, the election of President Trump, because now the economy has turned around, people are optimistic, hiring is taking place, I have steady clients, and this is all since he was elected, and it can't just be coincidence. But I realized that I needed to expand. I needed to have an additional revenue stream. So that revenue stream was career counseling. And that's what kept me going and keeps me going when the executive recruiting side of the business isn't doing as well as I would like.
What went through your mind when you realized that you would benefit by having more than one revenue stream?
Well, there are two publications that I read religiously, and I recommend to everyone, and I recommend it in my book, Inc. Magazine and Fast Company. They're general business books. They're well-written. The articles are enjoyable and informative. So they usually arrive about the same time every month, and that's usually what I do one weekend a month, is go through the two magazines. And what they all talk about is 80-20, meaning 80% of your revenue comes from 20% of your clients, but also the importance of diversification. As long as it is in some way related to your core business. So if you're manufacturing cars and then all of a sudden you want to sell real estate, that's probably not going to work. But executive recruiting and career counseling are two sides or different sides of the same coin. So once interest was expressed in by people looking for work in hiring me to help them with their job search, and I want to emphasize, I do not charge candidates for executive recruiting clients. If an employer comes to me and says they need a director of marketing, they pay me. The candidate that gets the job doesn't pay me anything. These are people who I help guide through the job search process. They're paying me.
And how does the career counseling model work?
Well, it started with a service called Help a Reporter Out. I learned about them from Inc. magazine. It's called Haro, and the website is Help a Reporter. And I know you're going to ask me later on, but this is one of the actionable things everybody can do right now. You go to helpareporter.com and you sign up as a source. And 3 times a day you will receive emails from the site which list questions posed by reporters, editors, producers, hosts of podcasts on every conceivable and a few inconceivable topics. I started to answer questions dealing with job search, employment, career. And as I started to get quoted, people found out about me. And then they came to me. I remember my first client was from Boston, and he called up and he said, "Do you provide career counseling services?" So I, of course, said yes. I didn't, but I, of course, said yes, I'd be happy to. So we talked and we made an appointment for a Skype session. And as soon as I got off the phone, I went to my website and I made a new page for career counseling. And it's taken off since then. And I offer, I believe you asked what the services are. Well, there are basically 3. The first is for career counseling, writ large, meaning you don't know what you want to be when you grow up. And I asked that question to 18-year-olds and to 58-year-olds. It doesn't matter. If you're thinking of changing career, that's the career counseling package. Then there is a job search package where I, figuratively speaking, take you by the hand and lead you through the process of conducting an effective job search. And then lastly, for those people who don't need that type of help, but only want help specifically with their resume, cover letter, and interviewing, I have a special package for them. But what is different and how I differentiate myself from my competition is that this is a one-time payment, and the service continues until you get your next job. I'm not creating a relationship of dependency where every week you pay me, I don't know, I'll make it up a number, $100, and I'll give you a little bit of information. I give you everything in a two-hour session. And then, as you need additional help, you call, you email, and I provide whatever service is necessary. If it's help with networking, if it's a cover letter, or what is most enjoyable for me, conducting mock interviews.
Bruce, beyond Inc. Magazine, Fast Company, and the help you got through SCORE, are there other resources that you found have been really instrumental in developing the business strategy and implementing the tactics that you've used in your business?
Yes, I would say two. The first was a networking group. I think it's called the New York City Networking Group or Business Networking Group. I'm actually going to one of their events later this month. I haven't been to an event with them for about 5-6 years because while the events were good and I was meeting interesting people, I really wasn't getting any business, but I was getting experience networking. I was getting experience talking to strangers, which is difficult for me. Even though I do it today, that it appears that I'm calm, cool, and collected, I really am very uncomfortable, but I know how to fake it and I know how to do it. And I got a lot of experience, for lack of a better word, pitching. But then I joined the Manhattan Chamber of Commerce. I had joined a different chamber, got nothing out of it. I joined the Manhattan Chamber and I worked my way up to being a board member, and I got a number of clients through the chamber. So that was very helpful. And we also had a number of educational sessions, most of which I actually organized because I was chair of the Entrepreneurship Council. So joining the chamber was probably what gave my business the boost it needed at the critical moment.
One of the themes that I'm hearing from you is exposure to the public, and to the right kind of public, is really important.
Absolutely. One of the things that I find not amusing, but it happens so often that I know it's coming, so I probably have a smile on my face, is I will say to a career counseling client, talk to me about networking. And they'll say, oh, I'm doing a lot of networking and I'm getting absolutely nothing out of it. So then I ask, with whom are you networking? What type of groups do you attend? What type of events do you attend? And they almost always say, well, I go to events for job seekers. Well, no. Job seekers aren't people looking to hire. They're looking to be hired. So you have to target the right audience. So my audience at the Chamber of Commerce was employers looking to hire. And if I got one or two a year because of my low overhead, that was fine because I would have other clients through referrals that I would meet. And so I was okay. I didn't need, as I said earlier, a new client every month. So if I got let's say, 3 clients a year through the chamber, that was great. But the career counseling part, I couldn't get from the chamber because, by definition, job seekers don't join the Chamber of Commerce, which is a mistake. Employers join the Chamber of Commerce. But that said, there were people who I met who knew people who were having difficulty finding a new job. So indirectly, I got referrals for career counseling clients also through the chamber. But you have to be in the right place at the right time. And as I tell my career counseling clients, never underestimate the importance of dumb luck. I can tell you some stories of, since you're laughing, I'll give you a funny story. A career counseling client of mine, a young woman, couldn't get a job to save her life. She came to me. She wasn't doing anything wrong. It was just the economy. She had a degree in marketing. She was fluent in Italian. Lovely person, articulate, professional. She knew her stuff. And it was just, it's a marathon. And I told her that. And we worked together, especially on her networking, and things improved. But her way of relaxing was martial arts. So long story short, she goes to her dojo. She gets into a match with another woman. If they had planned this, it never could have happened. She kicked her. The other woman fell off the mat, which never happens, and broke her arm. So my client went with this woman to the hospital. Now, the woman with the broken arm was over 18. So at the hospital, she signed off on everything. And in the meantime, her parents were on the way, but when they arrived, she was literally flying higher than a kite because she was all doped up. And they were going to keep her overnight because she had a fever. So the mother stayed, the parents arrived in separate cars. The mother stayed with the daughter, and the father took my client home. And what was amusing was the parents were reassuring my client that they weren't upset, that it was an accident, she didn't do anything wrong, and that they appreciated the fact that she had stayed with her in the hospital. They were reassuring her and not their daughter, because their daughter literally was feeling no pain. Well, in the car, the father thanked her and then asked her, tell me about yourself. What do you do? So she said, bachelor's degree in marketing, year abroad in Italy, speak fluent Italian. At that point, the conversation ended because he was looking for someone in his marketing department, and he had just gotten his first European client, an Italian company. He hired her. Now I have to warn everyone, I am not advising that you go out and start breaking people's arms. I'm just saying that dumb luck can result in employment.
You know, this is the kind of story that I've heard a lot on this podcast, that there are opportunities that arise that are totally unexpected. And one of the characteristics that you've just described, Bruce, is the ability to accept the opportunity when it shows up and to be open to it.
Well, I've got a better one for you. Very quickly. A controller loses his job. His 10-year-old daughter's best friend is a CFO. His 10-year-old daughter asks him for his resume. He gives it to her. She gives it to her best friend, who gives it to her father, and you can guess what happened. Now, if he was not willing to accept the assistance of his 10-year-old daughter, he may have not found employment for a while longer.
Absolutely. It's a great story, and these kinds of things happen all the time. Bruce, what kind of advice do you have for solopreneur experts that are struggling to create consistent, stable, recurring revenue?
You have to be known. You have to become a known entity. You cannot be the best kept secret in the world. That is why I use Hero. That is why I have my own podcast where I can invite entrepreneurs to come on and be my guest. And I thank you, David, for having come on recently. But there's something else. Not only can you not afford to be the best kept secret in town, you have to be focused on customer service. So when an employer comes to me and says, I need help hiring, how do I know that you're going to do a good job? My response is simple. I give a 6-month guarantee. If the placement doesn't work out, I'll conduct a replacement search absolutely free. That convinces them. You also have to use social media properly. LinkedIn is crucial. There are two schools of thought, and I discuss this in my book, but there are two schools of thought. There are those people who want to have a very restricted network. And there are those people like me who invited everybody. So I have 30,000 first-degree connections, which means theoretically, if I send something out on LinkedIn, I post something on LinkedIn, my entire network of first, second, third degree connections is over 7 million people. That gives me a certain degree of prominence, which means if I do something well, I'm a star. If I do something poorly, I'm a jerk. But that's on me. But I have the potential to reach out literally to millions. It's never happened. But what has happened is I've reached out in one article to well over 100,000 individuals. If you are known, if you're using social media properly, I'll give you one quick example. I joined Facebook a long time ago, but I only started using it maybe 3 months ago because I wanted to expand my career counseling business. And now with the book coming out, I wanted to expand my audience of potential buyers of the book. On Facebook, and it took me a while to get used to the idea that Facebook is not LinkedIn and people do not post professionally. They post about their personal lives. But one person wrote something, and I commented on it just. He made a factual error, and I corrected him, and I included a source, and I didn't think anything of it. The next thing I know, I am being attacked in words that are undescribable. So I looked the guy up on LinkedIn, and on LinkedIn, he did nothing. But on Facebook, he was very active, he was very rude, he was very obnoxious, and I actually asked him about it. I said, why is it that on Facebook you act one way, but on LinkedIn you act professionally? And that ended the conversation. Whatever you do on social media in the public is on you. So if you act like a professional, you'll be treated like a professional. And that's the danger of social media, because people get carried away. And you can't let that happen, and you can't get into fights with people, because you'll never win.
Bruce, what kind of person do you find is most successful at smashing plateaus?
People who are courageous, meaning they are willing to acknowledge their mistakes and to find out how to prevent them from happening again. People who are curious and will talk to people will build up relationships with other business owners regardless of their area of expertise. It doesn't matter. They'll find out, how have you been able to, and then whatever. I know today how to inexpensively and properly set up a business so that it doesn't cost you thousands of dollars. I know how to lower your office costs. All of these things have come about because I'm willing to speak with people and ask questions. And also reading. I read a lot of books. I read a lot of history. I read a lot of autobiographies, not only of business leaders, but also of business leaders. So the two that I find most interesting are Andy Grove, who was once asked, as Intel was about to be taken away from him and the chairman of the board. It's a famous story. The two of them are in their office, or in his office, and Andy Grove asked the chairman, "What do you think the new guys will do when they kick us out?" And the answer was to go away from memory chips to processors. And then they decided they should do that. So it's taking a few steps from that story. I learned that you have to take a few steps back, be objective, and look at yourself. What's the expression? Through a jaundiced eye, so that you can properly judge yourself. And the other autobiography, which I just read recently, was of Andrew Carnegie. And of all things that resonated with me, that stuck with me, was a friend of his was in terrible, dire financial straits. And he declared bankruptcy. Now, today, declaring bankruptcy, there's no real stigma attached to it. It's not the end of the world. It happens all the time. But in his day, it was not a wise move to make unless it was your last course of action. And he asked his friend one very simple question. And I think this is a good question for all business owners to consider. To whom are you indebted? To your creditors or to yourself? To whom do you owe allegiance? To your creditors or to yourself? So in business, you have to stay true to yourself, to your own principles. And having a mission-based business has helped me. Because in one case, one woman told me that she did not want me to submit any veterans to her. I asked her why. I tried to explain to her that she was wrong. She said, "No, I don't want any veterans." And I said, "Fine, I'm not working with you." Now, I lost some business, but hopefully in the long run, I gained more because of it. Having a mission will help you stay focused. As long as the mission is real and not another, our mission is to provide the highest quality services to our clients. Not nonsense. A real mission.
Yeah, that's great advice. Bruce, what can we look forward to in the near future from you? What's coming up?
Well, the big thing is my book, which will be launched. Now, I know that this show will air on or around March 7th, but I'll still tell you about it because it may be a good idea for others. I was reading David McCullough's latest book, and he mentioned that Thomas Jefferson, I think his library became the first Library of Congress. Well, I'm not certain about that. But Thomas Jefferson said that he didn't need to use his library when writing the Declaration of Independence because he knew what needed to be said and he just said it. And that got me thinking 3 weeks ago that it's time for a new book. I know what needs to be said and I should just say it. And in 2 weeks' time, I had a 100-page book, about 45,000 words. And using CreateSpace, which is Amazon's service, I would have been able to produce a book basically for free. So this is going to be my new marketing tool. During the next 2 weeks, it should launch around the 15th of this month, March. So for 2 weeks, I will give a serious reduction in the cover price of both the paperback and the Kindle, the ebook edition. And I'm going to have a special podcast only for purchasers of the book. If they provide proof of purchase, I will send them a link to a private podcast where I'll answer their questions and I'll talk about the lessons that I give in the book. And then finally, anyone who buys the book, when they get to the last page, they'll discover, or if they go to my website, they'll discover that they get 20% off my services when they purchase the book. And the reason that I'm doing this is not only to raise visibility, but I think it's fair because having the book where I reveal, you know, now I have a smile on my face and using air quotes, all of my secrets, they're not going to need me as much as somebody who hasn't read the book. So I'm using the book as my way to break through a new plateau, if I may use the expression, in my career counseling.
How can listeners learn more about you and get a copy of the book?
Go to my website, www.hs, like Sam, so hsstaffing.com. And there will be a page, once the book is live, there'll be a page there dedicated to the book. And also just go into Amazon and doing a search of my name. You'll find a few of my books. But the most recent one is the 21st Century Job Search.
Sounds great. Well, Bruce, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. My guest today has been Bruce Hurwitz, president of Hurwitz Strategic Staffing. Thank you again, Bruce, for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity.